morning and welcome to St. Columba's for our service of morning prayer on this, the third Sunday of Easter. We welcome visitors in particular who are joining us. All of you are most welcome, and we do hope that you can wait behind for refreshments at the west end of our church following this service. And today they are very kindly being hosted by the Sunday School and the Doves. This morning we are immensely privileged that Caroline McCartney is going to be sharing with us some of her experiences while she was in India with ASHA. You will recall some time ago we were involved in fundraising for ASHA, and we had many prayers for Caroline and her team from Method Day, where Caroline is a pupil. They have been to India, they have returned back safely, and earlier this morning at a very busy 9:30 service, Caroline gave a little introduction to her trip, and she's going to give a more detailed presentation during the service. So in anticipation, we do say thank you to Caroline. We're also delighted to welcome her wider family and friends who are with her to support her, as indeed we all are supporting you this morning, so thank you. Our service begins with the Easter greeting on page 101. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised. Christ the Passover has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. Not with the old leaven of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ once raised from the dead died.
this reading, we hear about the mountain of the Lord. The Old Testament reading is from Micah chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we shall walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever."
The appearances of the risen Jesus were always unexpected. This is Luke's end of the first Easter day and shows us Jesus still teaching his friends how the scriptures were fulfilled in what has happened. The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36b. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, is fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Amen. shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the
going to invite the congregation to be seated as the choir make their way down to the front rows of the congregation as we make preparations for the PowerPoint presentation to accompany Caroline's address.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As many of you know, I recently travelled to India with a group from my school, Methody, to work in the slums with a charity called ASHA. And this morning, I'm going to reflect on my 2 weeks there. ASHA is a charity set up by Dr. Kieran Morton in 1988, which works with around 500,000 people in slums across Delhi. ASHA aims to tackle all the issues that can keep slum dwellers trapped in poverty. Their programmes help slum residents gain access to healthcare, financial services and education, and make it possible for them to make positive long-term changes to their lives. I was part of a team of 15 pupils and 4 staff. From the moment we stepped out of the airport in Delhi, we were now a minority group, which was unlike anyone in our team had experienced before. Each member of the team brought 2 20-kilogram bags with us, one with our personal luggage and one with books and crafts that we were going to give to the charity. However, the first problem we faced was there was no space to put it all in the taxis. Well, so we thought. Our bags were piled sky high onto the top of each taxi, and although we thought this was ridiculous, upon leaving the airport, we saw a motorcyclist with 9 pillows piled up in front of him so he couldn't see the road at all, and a family of 7 on another motorbike. As we'd been travelling for 26 hours, we were all very tired and were looking forward to sleep in the back of the taxi to the hotel. This didn't happen. I can safely say that this was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. The Indian logic when it comes to driving seems to be, why are there 3 lanes drawn on the road when we can easily fit 6 cars across? And traffic lights, why bother waiting? However, we safely made it to our hotel, the Legend Inn. On the second day, we visited a traditional Hindi temple. We all had to take our shoes off as a sign of respect to walk around. The architecture was absolutely stunning and looked centuries old, even though it was finished 15 years ago. When we were leaving, we saw a large group of around 100. Our teacher informed us that this group was referred to as the Untouchables, who are the lowest group within the Indian caste system. Although the caste system was officially abolished in 1950, the practice of untouchability remains very much a part of Indian culture. It was emotional to see them as they wore rags and didn't own any shoes. We were informed that it is seen as socially unacceptable for anyone of a higher caste to even look at them, which was really hard to hear as they were just there to worship like everyone else, but yet they weren't supposedly worthy enough of a smile or friendly hello. In the evening, we went to the Sarojini Nagar market, where the girls all bought our saris. This was an experience like no other. It was busy and intense with people trying to sell you things left, right and centre. The next morning, work really started. We visited ASHA HQ in Etgar Vihar slum colony, where we met 3 permanent ASHA staff who showed us a variety of slideshows and photos about the work that ASHA does. The ASHA HQ building is bright yellow amongst a wash of grey in the slum area surrounding it. It is first and foremost a doctor's surgery, as ASHA was founded as a medical charity. We then travelled to Kalkaji. This was our base for the 2 weeks we were there. When we first got out of the cars, I was absolutely terrified. The streets were hectic and busy, and there was a lot of noise. Everyone was staring at us. This was a more conservative part of Delhi, where there were no tourists, so we stuck out a lot. However, we walked 10 metres down the main street of the slum, and we were into the Asha Centre. The moment I walked through the gate, I immediately felt safe, and I imagine that this is what it is like for many of the children that Asha work with. It is an escape from the noise of the street. The slum itself was not what I expected it to be like. When you hear the word slum, you think of people without houses living under tarpaulin sheets, and that this is not at all what it was like. There were buildings, electricity, and a toilet block, all that Asha had built. We were greeted with a party of workers waiting at the gate who threw confetti and welcomed us into the Asha family. We had an introduction with the CHVs, who are the community health volunteers. They are women from the community whom Asha have trained to give medicine to those who need it. One of the main aims of the charity is to make the slum self-sufficient so that all the jobs are done by local people. Rather than bringing outside people in to deliver medicine, they train the women to do this, which is key to development. These medicines cost to those who have enough money and are free to those who don't, giving access to healthcare to the whole slum. The CHVs take a small portion of the profit to support their families, and the rest goes back to the charity, making this development truly sustainable. We also met the college students, who are now mentors at the centre. They encourage the younger students and help them study for their final exams. Because the population is so big in Delhi, the competition for university places is so incredibly difficult. Asha helps students prepare for exams by providing revision guides and past papers, and in many cases, supporting the students' fees at university. Meeting the children was incredible. Everyone on both sides was so excited, and I was laughed at on numerous occasions for attempting to say my name in Hindi, Mera Naam Caroline Hay, in a strong Belfast accent. Our days working in the slum had two major sections. In the morning, we had the boys, who ranged from ages 11 to 18, and in the afternoon, we had the girls, who ranged from 8 to 14. The boys mostly wanted to learn English, and the girls, as they were younger, wanted to do arts and crafts. Initially, with the boys, it was a bit awkward, and there was a big language barrier. We really had to slow down our speech and enunciate, because they were used to hearing English spoken in an Indian accent. Another challenge we faced was we had one large group and a big age range, and that brought a big range in ability. But we quickly got going. We played games with them, for example, name as many something as you can in 30 seconds. And at the start, people were shy to talk until it was name as many cricketers as you can, and the room erupted into noise and quickly broke the ice. They all had such a big desire to learn, which really made our job so much easier. With the girls, one day we made bracelets, and they were so much better at it than us, and I was quickly told that my colour combination was not up to scratch. Another day, we did tie-dye. Unfortunately, most of the children wore the same clothes every day, as they didn't have anything else, so each girl got a T-shirt and got to choose their colours. We gave them another item to add to their wardrobe, which was colourful, but we also had fun making them. As well as teaching and doing arts and crafts, we painted two of the rooms. In one, we painted a jungle scene, and in the other, we painted a scene from a well-known Indian children's book, Nagaland. These paintings brightened the place up and made it look more interesting for the children. There was also an area out the back of the centre that we used to play games with the kids, the favourites being dodgeball and cricket. All of the children were so friendly. They were glad to get even the smallest bit of one-on-one attention that they weren't necessarily getting at home. One girl, Mehek, who was 10, bounced into the centre one morning with a huge smile on her face. She had three grapes in her hand, which was her whole breakfast, and she offered me one of them. She was willing to give me, someone with everything, part of her very small amount of food, which just shows their kind-hearted nature. One of the most memorable parts of our time working in the slum was a lane walk. On one of the days, we left the centre in a group of four with a member from the Asha staff, and we literally walked around the lanes of the slum. We were very kindly invited into people's homes as well. On mine, we were with Sony, a senior figure within the charity, and we were doing a medical visit. We visited a pregnant woman and a baby with tuberculosis to give them checkups. As we walked in and around the slum, I noticed on the walls lots of numbers and realised that these were actually people's addresses. Each person had their address written up on the wall of their house because they were so proud of their homes. It was hard-hitting to find out that six people lived in one of the houses we were in, and it was only about 2.5 metres by three. But despite this, people were so happy to call it home, and the fact that they had a house meant that they had made it. It was also nice to see in one of the houses we visited that there were all the craft things that we had done with the girls the week before pinned up on the wall. We also took Polaroid photos of them, and in most cases this was the only photo of themselves that they owned, and in this house they were put on display for all to see. Painted up in the centre are the Asher values. They are dignity, empowerment, justice, non-violence, compassion, gratitude, generosity, optimism, joy, simplicity, and power of touch. One of the most important to us was the last one, power of touch. A simple hug or handshake could put a massive smile on the face of some of these children. It seems so simple to us, but yet meant so much to them, and there's a certain feel-good factor to both parties. Before we went out to India, we all fundraised for money that would go directly to the charity, and I would like to take a moment to thank you all so much for your tremendous support towards my coffee morning and during collections in church. After the addition of gift aid, I raised £3,100, and as a group, we raised £26,000. With a portion of this money, we were able to buy laptops so that the computer suite in the centre was completely replaced. We wanted to get something that would again help the sustainable development of the charity. This allows all the children that go through the centre to be trained how to use a computer and gives them an extra qualification on their CV to make them more employable. While we know the charity will make tremendous use out of the money we gave them, it is nice to know that there is physically something that we gave them to help make a change in their lives. On our day off, we travelled to Agra to visit the Taj Mahal and the Red Fort. The architecture was truly amazing, and it was so fascinating to find out the history about these incredible buildings. We were even able to walk around the inside of the tomb of Emperor Jahan and his favourite wife, Mumtaz. We were all in awe of the Taj Mahal, but as you can see in this photo, we were all taking photos of the Taj, and this man was taking photos of us because we stood out so much. The girls also got a photo on Diana's bench, which was nice. We were fortunate to be in Delhi during the Asha 30th anniversary celebrations, and as a result, we were invited to parties in the British High Commission, the Irish Embassy, and Asha's own celebratory dinner. At these events, there were such inspirational Asha students talking about their journeys and what Asha has done for them. One girl's story was she was thrown out of her house by her stepfather, who didn't like her at age six. She was then sent to live with her grandparents. When she was 13, her grandparents couldn't afford to support her anymore. So she pleaded with her mother to let her go and live back with her mother's second family. Her mum said no. She was left homeless. Her story was heard by an Asha worker who found her a family to live with. Asha helped her get through school and helped her prepare for university, where they paid for her fees. She studied engineering and finished 10th in her year at Delhi University, which allowed her to get a good job in a leading technology firm in Delhi. She has since bought an apartment and invited her mother and her mother's second family to come and live with her. Even though these people had treated her so badly, she said that the Asha values taught her to be loving and kind, and that she knew this was the right thing to do. We also watched a video about the work that Asha has done over the last 30 years. It seems somehow wrong to be standing in the garden of a High Commissioner's huge house while watching a video about extreme poverty. This really applies to a lot of India. One minute you could be surrounded by huge buildings with amazing architecture, and the next you could be in an area of complete and utter poverty. On the penultimate day, we got our henna done by some of the younger girls. The designs were so intricate and amazing, even though they were just doing them freehand, which was class. Our last day in the centre was very emotional and filled with lots of tears. We had a party which included lots of dances from some of the children and a rendition of ABBA's Dancing Queen from us. Mr. Kirk, one of the teachers, and Patrick and Nikita from the team gave speeches on behalf of us all. It was very sad because none of us wanted to leave our Asha family. At the start of the 2 weeks, I had no idea how attached I would get to these people. Each and every one of them is a remarkable person. They have so little, but yet are so happy. It was pretty early on in our time working in Kalkaji that we realised that these people were having a far bigger impact on us than we were on them. After being in a place like this, you realise that the important things in life aren't the material things, but they are the bonds and connections that you make with people that matter. ASHA truly is an amazing charity doing some phenomenal work within the slums in Delhi, and I know that I will certainly be back to work with them again in the future. Thank you.
Very well done indeed to Caroline McCartney for her very detailed and comprehensive presentation of her trip to India with ASHA. One of the great characteristics of St. Columba's has been in recent years to offer support and encouragement, not just through prayer, but also through financial assistance to help our younger parishioners to have an opportunity of sharing their God-given gifts with those in other countries, invariably those who are so poor and have nothing. It's an opportunity to learn more about our neighbours, and not just that. It is always a great delight when we welcome them back to hear at first hand their experiences and how they have been enriched and developed through their time away. And that was so evident today in what Caroline was saying and how she herself has been enriched through the experience. For ourselves here in St. Columba's, one of the aspects to which I've been very focused upon in recent years has been how can we further develop and enrich our overseas missionary work? And we do that here in a very, very clear way, and that is through parishioners who've got links and contacts with organisations and parishioners who actually go overseas themselves and then come back, and they in turn are the human face for us of these organisations upon which our financial support is so, so generous, because we are supporting organisations that we've heard about at first hand from parishioners who've had the experience of going overseas with organisations. This has been an important part, if I can use the phrase, of our DNA here in St. Columba's, and how wonderful it is to see and to hear young people giving of their time, not just from our parish, but in local schools and other churches, to go overseas and to share the experiences God has given them with those who are in such great need. And today has been a further development upon this aspect of our overseas work here in St. Columba's, and long may it be so. And as Caroline has already given her thanks to all those who have supported her, can I also give my thanks to all those across the parish for their support and for their encouragement and for the focus that we give to all of this aspect of our work. May we always be an outward-looking parish here in St. Columba's and not inward-looking. And today has been a further step on that road to be even further outlooking. So well done to you, Caroline. Thank you very much indeed. And we do want, through you, tomorrow at Methody, if you will convey our prayers and our greetings to all those who are with you on the team for the ongoing work upon which ASHA are doing. And I somehow sense we will continue in various ways to support ASHA through the experience that you've given us here in St. Columba. So very well done. The church wardens are now going to remove the screen, and we all will return back to our places in the chancel.
Can I draw your attention to the Pew News this morning and details of this service? And we're going to continue now as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Would you stand, please? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant our love and justice.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, may clean our hearts within us.
And lead us by your Holy Spirit.
The appointed prayer for this day, the third Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
This joyful Easter tide, away with sin and sorrow. My love, the crucified, has crowned to life this morrow. At Christ that once was slain, there burst his three-day prison.
Oh, no. Dear Lord, we pray for everyone in this parish, for our Bishop Harold, our Rector John, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan reader, for leading our worship and pastoral care. For everyone leading or participating in church organisations or committees. For those taking on new roles of responsibility following the Easter Vestry, in particular, our new church wardens, Richard and David, Sophie and Daniel. And for those in service to the diocese, we pray for all members of the congregation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We pray for peace in our local communities. We lift up to you all who work towards an end to conflict and those who work to uphold law and justice. We hope for the principles of the Good Friday Agreement to continue despite the current obstacles. We pray for an end to fear, for calm in our streets, and that people may go about their lives in safety and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for the peace of the world, for heads of states and leaders, that they may have wisdom to know and courage to do what is right. For all who work to improve international relationships, that they may find the true way to reconcile people of different race, colour, and creed. And for innocent men and women the world over, in particular in Syria, that they may have an end to suffering, achieve justice and freedom, and live in security and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We pray for anyone whose life has been touched by tragedy, whether by accident or deliberate act. For those who mourn, we ask you to immerse them in your love and lead them through this troubled time. For those who comfort, we ask you to support them, helping them to help others. Thank you for the remembrance of loved ones no longer with us. May they live on in the memory of those they have left behind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we face the day daunted by expectations others place upon us, weighed down by burdens and worries, unsure of outcomes and overwhelmed by choices, remind us that you faced all this and more, and help us to rise above and beyond the troubles of this everyday life. In a world where many of us have too much, consume too much, and expect too much, we ask you to unclutter our lives, to grant us perspective, compassion, and gratitude, and to remind us what is important in this world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. I do encourage you to wait behind for tea and coffee at the back of the church, and also an opportunity to meet with Caroline McCartney more informally when she will further share details of her trip to India. Tonight, confirmation in St. Malua's Stormont, when three members of our parish, Anna Caldwell, Michael Armstrong and Richard Beattie, are going to be confirmed, along with candidates from St. Dorothea's, from Grey Abbey, from St. Malua's and from Ballyhome, where 19 people in total will be confirmed. Our prayers are with all of them and Bishop Harold as he conducts that service. Music is the most important part of the life and work of St. Columba's, and choir concerts are always a must attend. And Dr. Joe McKee, our organist and choir master, along with the choir, are busy with their preparations for their spring recital this coming Saturday at 7:30 here in church. I do encourage you to come along. Light refreshments will be served afterwards for what will be, I know, an evening of musical excellence. The proceeds are for choral scholarships and to further enrich and develop the work of music here in our services and in our parish. Let us pray. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Go in the peace of the risen Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. God, alleluia, alleluia.